time when my eyes were blind and I was lost as I could be. Oh, but there was a day when mercy came my way, and mercy led me into the arms of grace. Thank God
I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Not what
I am not.
Not what I am.
Jesus forgave my sin.
Jesus
sometimes my failures and my things in my past, they come to mock me and they try to bring the guilt all back. Oh, but then I see a fountain of blood that covers me. Oh, and then
praise the Lord. I'm not what I used to be. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. When I got saved, the places I desired to go, my desire changed, and I started going to different places. The things I used to do and the people I used to hang around with, my desire changed. My friends changed. My thoughts changed. Hear me. When you're saved, everything changes. I believe in a progressive work, but I also believe in an instantaneous work. I believe that whenever He saves you, you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Can we stand one more time before we read the Word of God? We're going to pray for Sister Gearhart. Do you have a need in this house? Anyone that is physically in need or whatever the need is, do you have a need? Let's bind together. Father, we thank You because we feel Your presence in this house. Lord, we know You're here in our midst. Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you'd reach down and touch Sister Gearhart. Bring healing to our sister, this woman of God that served you all these years. Healing belongs to the children of God. Healing is the children's bread. Lord, if there's anyone else sick in body in this house, I pray that you would heal them. Any heart difficulties, Lord, if they're sick in body, whatever it is, every infirm spirit, we command you to get off the children of God. Lord, let the healer pass by their way, bring life and bring healing to this natural place, whatever it is, in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children to children's church from age 5 to 11. Won't be long. We'll be starting back our Christian school, and then our school of ministry will be here in just a month and a half or so. I'm excited about that. The Lord is moving. There are some of you that will not go on the mission field. Hey, praise the Lord. You pray for us. Send some money to support, but some of you will. If you're on the fence, if you're just on the fence, I encourage you, just go get your passport. It takes about 6 to 12 weeks to get your passport right now, and the passport is good for 10 years. I think it's $110, something like that. You need it, if you go to Canada. So get your passport. Please allow God to just speak to you in the future. We won't put too much pressure on anybody. We want you to hear the testimonies. We had 2 of our prime-timers, our seniors, go. Well, 3 of our prime-timers, Brother David Fraze. And I told him he really don't count because we call him Super Dave. He can do anything, so it's not a big feat for him to go to Honduras. Brother Drake, Sister Vera went, and they didn't want to leave. I told him, I said, hey, you got to come back. We need you here. They really were blessed and touched, and I just encourage you to get your passport. We're not going to hold you to go into our third world country, but you want to be able to have it just in case the Lord speaks to your heart to go. God, it's the heartbeat of God, not just local missions, and I believe in local missions, but also believe going to all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, as you've done unto the least of the little ones, you've done unto me. Praise the Lord. If you haven't seen our pictures on our church Facebook page, I encourage you to go on our church Facebook page and look at those pictures. I believe we've posted about 100 pictures on the church Facebook page. Pictures cannot tell the story. But ask one of these people who went. We had 18 go with us this time. Ask them. Ask them about their experience, and it's overwhelming. They'll try to describe it to you, but there's just no words. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 4 and verse number 1. It's so good to have Brother and Sister Prohaska with us from Arkansas, my friends. I love Brother Jeremy. He's a good friend of mine and a great preacher of the gospel. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what we feel in this service this morning, the holy presence of God, the power of the Spirit of the living God. We ask you that you would anoint every ear, every heart. Lord, we want to be receptive to what the Spirit would say to us. I ask you, O God, that you would anoint my mouth, my lips, that I would become as a holy oracle of God to speak in the hearts and lives of your people. These people belong to you that have been purchased with the blood of Calvary's Lamb. They're never going to die. If a man chooses hell, he'll never die. If a man chooses heaven, he'll never die. I pray, Lord, that you'd make eternity real to us again, afresh and anew this morning. Speak to us by your Spirit. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Second verse of Scripture. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. I'm going to preach to you the simple thought: cast down your rod. As all of us know, every once in a while in life, you're going to get a few curveballs. I've never been a baseball player, but I know a little bit about it. I couldn't hardly hit a ball off the tee when I was a little fella, so I'm not an expert in hitting a curveball. But a curveball is a ball that it looks like it's going one way, and then it switches directions and goes another route. And I can tell you that's how life is oftentimes. That's how trials and tribulations come our way. It seems like life is going good. Maybe you've had some ups and downs, some hard pass in the last several months, and then all of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, a trial comes that's so great, a tribulation, a wilderness type experience, and you don't know why. You ask God, Lord, what are you trying to talk to me about? Have I done something? Are you trying to judge me? Listen to me, not every trial that comes your way, and most of them are not the judgment of God. Everything God does in us is to form Christ in us and to get self out. Ladies and gentlemen, what he wants to do is work something deep in each and every one of our lives. He wants me to die and Christ to live. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach it. I preach that cross all of the time because it is the message with power. It is years ago, but there's another cross. It's the cross that you and I must take up daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Paul the apostle who said these words, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is the message of the cross. One died for my transgressions, but I must die so that he can make himself manifest through my life. Trials and tribulations are to form Christ in us. We have to understand this. When trials come, let me remind you, the night may be dark, and you and I have all been through the dark nights, but I want to tell you, and I want to say it with a firmness, joy still comes in the morning. It may be dark, but the sun is going to rise again, and somebody needs to hear this today, because you're going through a dark time. Maybe you've been through it, and you're just coming out. You're going through it now, or you're just about to go through it. I want to say it. Joy comes in the morning. There is going to come a sunrise, and God is going to get the glory for what happens in our life. Have you ever wondered what it would be like as you were a disciple of Christ in the days that Jesus was here? Can you imagine what it was like for the disciples as they watched the Lord Jesus Christ die upon the cross? Now, they had heard the words of Christ that I will die and I will blood coming down his broken body. Isaiah said that Jesus was marred more than any man. That means he was unrecognizable, beaten, wounded more than any human being that's ever lived. Can you imagine what it must have been like as they seen their Lord and Savior take his last breath? Now, we could get real spiritual with our words and say, you know what? We'd have been shouting. There'd have been a sadness because Jesus, our Lord, was dead. But we know he's going to rise again. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things we know whenever there's not trials coming our way. But I can tell you this, whenever you're going through it, it's a whole different outlook. I can't help but believe some of them might have said, it's over with. All is lost now. What about this one? What are we going to do? What are we going to do now? Jesus has been taken from us. Oh, what they did not know. Oh, that Jesus was about to rise again. That's how it felt on Saturday. Oh, what are we going to do? All is lost between Saturday and Good Friday. Oh, but Resurrection Sunday, healing was going to be in the wings of the Son of Man, and he was going to come up out of that grave. Let me remind you this morning, as it was in the resurrection, so it is with us. It's not over until God says it over. When it comes to your lost children, I said it's not over till God says it over. Till when it comes to your marriage that's struggling and going through hard times, finances, ministry, whatever it is, my God sits on the throne and he is a miracle working God. Is a miracle-working God. The greatest spiritual victory of all time was won on the heels of seemingly greatest defeat, talking about the resurrection of Christ. All was lost, but not for long. 3 days after his crucifixion, Jesus walked out of the tomb under his own power. Listen to me today. In God's kingdom, failure is never final. Not if we believe in the resurrection. You and I are not going to win every spiritual battle. But I can tell you, the war has already been won. Do you hear me? There are going to be some battles that you won't understand. There's going to be some things you go through. You're going to pray for sick people that end up not getting healed. They die. You're going to end up praying for situations and circumstances. You never break through. You never see the miracle. I can tell you, not every spiritual battle is won. But here's what we've got to do as children of God. We've got to look past the spiritual battles. Listen, it's a warfare. There's going to be casualties of war. There are going to be troubles and trials. I've got to keep my mind and my eyes on the big picture. What is the big picture? It's eternity. It's the rapture of the church. It's what God... future. Listen, I've read the last page of the book. I didn't skip all this, but every once in a while, I'll go to the last page when I feel a little discouraged, downcast, and I'll start reading in Revelation chapter 19, 20, and 21, how the Lord comes back and on a white horse, and then he chains the old serpent. Oh, come on, church. I'm telling you, we win. I got a message for you, devil, today. We are victorious children of a Most High God. We win. We win. We win. The victory was sealed 2,000 years ago when Jesus broke the seal on the tomb. It was a death blow to death itself. And we are more than conquerors because of what Christ accomplished through his life, his death, his resurrection, and his second coming that he promised would take place one day. We are more than conquerors. We must stay faithful through the trials because God knows what he's doing. You may not know what God's doing. I may not know what God's doing. I'll never understand why Tony Carmona was taken to heaven this early. But listen, God knows. I may not understand why my pastor, that was one of the greatest men of faith. Oh, listen, this man did not take medicine for 40 years. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of the word of God. And he believed he was going to get healed. We all believe that. Why did God take him? I'll never understand. I don't care if he never heals another person. As long as I live, he's a healer. And there is a healer still in this house. If he doesn't save anybody today, he's still a savior. Listen, if you don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost after the service, he's still the baptizer with Holy Ghost and with fire. You and I must understand God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I read a wonderful story about two missionaries, and I can tell you, this week kind of got my mind really focused on missions and missionaries. Nearly 100 years ago, the Philadelphia Church in Stockholm, Sweden, sent two missionary couples to Congo. One of those couples was David and Siva Flood. They macheted their way through the jungle to establish a mission station. During their first year, they didn't see a single convert. Can you imagine that? Going through that jungle, even that God told you to do this, but you never seen a single convert. The village was resistant to the gospel because they were afraid of offending their tribal gods. But that did not stop Siva from sharing the love of Jesus with a 5-year-old boy. This is a true story. 5-year-old boy from Africa who delivered fresh eggs to their back door every day. Siva became pregnant not long after arriving. But she was bedridden during her pregnancy, but battling malaria. Now, just a few days after she delivered the child, Siva died of malaria. The husband was wounded and hurt because of what he felt, and this man ended up backsliding away from God. The husband, the missionary, battling. He went into alcoholism for 50 years. The little girl that was born, her name was Anna. She was given to two other missionaries, and they ended up moving, or the two missionaries that were she was given to, they were poisoned by the natives. That was the other couple who had gone to Congo. Then the girl was given to someone else, another missionary family that moved back to the States and began to pastor. This is 50 years later, but that's not the rest of the story. 50 years later, when this little girl that was born of the mother that died of malaria, the daughter of the missionary that was born, she was attending World
Pentecostal conference in London, England. 10,000 delegates from around the world gathered at Royal Prince Albert Hall. One of the speakers on the opening night was a man from that region in Congo. The superintendent of the Pentecostal church in Zaire, this man that was preaching was the superintendent of the church in Zaire. As she began to listen to this man, she found out Anna, the little girl that was born of the mom that died of malaria, she's now around from the same area where she and her parents started their mission work. So she went up to him after the service and she said, "Listen, I was from this area. My family was from this area." And as he began to talk, and she said who her mother and dad were. She named their last name, and this is what the man said. The last name was Flood. He said, "Listen, I was the 5-year-old boy that used to deliver eggs. I was the single convert that we knew of in Africa. And now," he said, "I've just put flowers on your mother's grave to dedicate hundreds of churches in Congo because of the work that you did." Oh, they begin to weep together. He was the 5-year-old boy that was delivering eggs. Come on, church, I'm telling you, it may not look like that person you're witnessing to next door to you is having any effect, but the word of the Lord never returns void. Keep preaching, keep praying, keep witnessing, keep living your life for the man who died on the cross for you. I'm telling you today, God knows. I'll say it again. The last chapter of your life and your family, your situation, has not yet been written. Brother Matt, I've wasted so many years. I've heard it this week, and it came from a pure heart. Brother Matt, I've wasted so many years when they saw all of these hurting people in Honduras. Listen to me. I understand we've all wasted some time, but I can tell you God can take where you are right now, your experiences, even your failures. My Bible said, my God, he causes all things to work together for good to them who love God and to them that are called unto his purpose. It may not be a good situation, but God will take a bad situation and a good situation and put them together and make something beautiful out of it. You may have made a different decision, but you didn't. You got to take what you've got and allow God to use you. I wish I'd never gone the way of the world. I wish I'd never drank alcohol. I wish more than anything that I'd never put alcohol to my lips, but I did. I can't go back, but I can tell of a man called Jesus who can take a person who was addicted to alcohol, who could not stop, who used to cry himself to sleep at night. I can tell about a man who can bring deliverance. I can tell, and I wish I'd never done it, but now because I was deep into sin, I love him more than most people because I understand what the cross of Calvary is all about. I understand what the blood is all about. I remember the night I got saved. I was a filthy wretch. My mind, I thought I was crazy. And if you were around me, you probably would have thought I was crazy too. I thought I was a nut. But I want to tell you something. As I got, the Lord saved me and I began to read the Word of God, he changed my thinking. I began to see differently. I began to think something different. Oh, listen, that's what God does. He creates a new heart inside of a believer. He takes the old and makes it new. It happened this week as we were ministering. 2 years ago was the first time I went to Honduras, and myself and Brother Fraze, David Fraze, went. And I remember in the Glow Center, that's the building that we stay in on top of the mountain, they were running a School of Christ up there in the Spanish language. School of Christ. It was a beautiful time. There were several of some men and women at the School of Christ, and there was a young boy. He was about 20, 21 years of age. Young hunter. And I thought, man, that guy is young. He just looks like he's still in high school. Well, that was the first church we went to this week. He's now a pastor. He's 23. In that church, there was more the power of God than any church that we had been through since. I've been in Honduras. Let me tell you what took place. We began to pass out. We were about to pass out toys, but we began to worship God, and he prayed. I'm telling you, the glory came down. The Spirit began to move, and I began to think to myself about somebody in God's little one, Brother Daniel Sweeney and Brother Joey and Brother Danny, who got a burden to bring the school of Christ to that mountain, to the Lacampa Mountains. Oh, listen to me today. It's because of somebody's burden. It's because of a seed that was sown that lives are going to be changed. He has a church of over 200 people right now, and those children, he was getting them up there, and they were worshiping God with that microphone. Oh, listen, the power of God was moving. It's because somebody believed and obeyed the voice of God. You never know what God can do through any of us with just one act of obedience. I want to say this before I move on. You never know what God can do in you and through you with just one act of obedience. Oh, listen, when God speaks, we need to listen, and we may be in a wilderness, but that wilderness is necessary for God to prepare you for the next chapter in your life. Now, this is exactly what's going on in the text that we read. Moses, you know the story. Moses was, he was basically adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was wanting to deliver the Israelite people. So he took matters in his own hands, and he killed the Egyptian. Now he's in a wilderness for 40 years. He ran for his life, and he ended up being in a place of his own making because he wouldn't wait on the Lord. For 40 years, Moses felt like he had failed to accomplish his God-ordained dream of delivering. This prince named Moses had all the potential in the world at 40 years of age, but he felt like a lost cause at 80 years of age. Have you ever felt that way at any time frame in your life? You say, man, I should have done this or should have done that, and I've wasted so much time. We've all been there. We've all wasted time. Listen, he had lost everything when he lost his temper. He was both a felon and a fugitive. Instead of doing God's will, God's way, he took matters into his own hands, and he killed an Egyptian taskmaster. And by trying to expedite God's will, he delayed it for 4 decades. I want to just stop right here, and I want to say this to you. Listen, God has a timing for everything. God may be speaking to you about something, but listen, God has a timing for everything. And if you move outside of the timing and the will of God, you will end up being in a wilderness, and you may end up there for 10 years, 20 years, 30 or 40. God has a perfect timing. Listen to his voice. We can delay the will of God for our lives by not waiting. People do it all the time. I've ended up doing it in my past because I moved outside of God's timing and I delayed the will of God. And so I was in a wilderness. So I had to learn some things. So I had to go through some things. Listen, whenever God speaks to you, you don't respond, he will send you into a wilderness to preserve your soul for eternity. Well, why am I hurting like this? Lord, I feel almost as if you've rejected me. Lord, I don't understand. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. But I want to tell you today, God cares more about the eternal things than he does the temporal things. And he may afflict you for a little while to preserve your eternal soul. So when you go through the trials, you need to lift up your hands and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I know you know what you're doing. If you need to talk to me, tell me what I'm doing. Lord, speak to me. I want to change and be transformed by your spirit. If you don't learn the lesson, you will repeat the trial. I tell you all the time, I'm not bragging, but I had to go through the first grade 2 times. You know why? I didn't listen. I daydreamed. If you don't pass the test in spiritual things, God will set you back and you'll go through it again. Because you have to have this test. You have to pass this class. You have to go through this in order to get to the next level to be effective in the kingdom of God. If you don't, you're going to repeat the trial over and over. Even though we fail, someday you'll celebrate failure as much as you do success. Failure is the fertilizer that grows character. had a man, a young man, tell me he was working with an older preacher, and the preacher messed up on some things that he was doing in his occupation, and the young preacher said, hey, it builds character, you know. He says, I got enough character, young man. I'd be afraid to say that. Character is the, or failure is the fertilizer that grows character. And character, hear me, sustains success or effectiveness so it doesn't backfire. If you are effective and God begins to use you and successful too quickly, you can end up hurting yourself and many others around you. Success without any failure is like a plant without any roots or a building without any foundation. It won't be long and it's going to be over with. Let me say that again. Success without any failure is like a plant without any roots or a building without any foundation. Failure is the substructure that supports the superstructure of success or effectiveness. Listen, are you hearing me today? At Harvest Time Church, God's blessed this church unbelievably. He's blessed us in so many ways. We have a Christian school, a school of ministry, started a daycare. We're starting World Harvest missions. I'm telling you, God's blessing this church. And I'm going to tell you, if it's not humbling to fly, do you hear me? Listen, God will not share his glory with a preacher, with any choir, with any lay person. It all belongs to Jesus Christ. But I can tell you this much, I couldn't be having any more fun trying to keep up with what God is doing. Amen. I'm having a good time. But the thing that keeps everything in perspective for me is for my personal past failures. It keeps it in perspective. It makes me understand and know I better pay attention to every detail of this church, of the ministry, of people. And how does that situation, or how's that thought kept in perspective for me? My past failures. It has to be this way. This is exactly what Moses was going through. I wouldn't want to go back to my past failures, but I wouldn't trade most of them or many of them for $1 million. Well, I'd trade some for $1 million, but I wouldn't trade all of them for $1 million. And I wouldn't want to go back to them. Which failure are you talking about, Brother Matt? The failure in my life. Depend on God for everything. I can't do it. Listen, I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. I don't have the human ingenuity. I'm not smart enough, but I can tell you whenever God is inside of the plan, or it's his plan and we're just partners with God, I can tell you God always does the deep work. I want you to hear me today. Humble dependence on God. Lord, I can't do it without you. That must be the constant thought and speaking out of our lips. I can't even walk without holding your hand. Someone asked Brother Clendenin, and Brother Clendenin, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to get to heaven? He said, I wouldn't want to go to the grocery store without the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Do you want the power to overcome this flesh? Get filled and refilled with the power of the Spirit of God. There was a time, hear me, there was a time I was on parole. It's that waiting time. It's that middle time. It's that waiting time. Before God could use me, he needed to grow me. Before God could use me, he needed to grow me. Before God could use me, he needed to grow me. Before God could use you, he's going to have to grow you. He's never going to move you into a place that you can really be effective or have so many people's lives in your hands or any situation in your family or with finances. Listen, God knows who can handle the money and who can't. You may have been a millionaire, but you never prayed through over that covetous spirit. Maybe you should have tithed on every single dime that came through your hands. Listen, and I'm not a prosperity, I preach against the prosperity message, but I want to tell you something. There's a principle in giving. You and I can't play games with God. You might be able to manipulate the government with your taxes, but you can't manipulate God. I'll just leave that with you right there. Come on, church. Oh, listen, before God could use me, he needed to grow me. So he put me in a wilderness, but through it all, God was leading me into a triumphal procession. He does the same with all of the children of God, and God was the final. This is exactly what the Lord was showing Moses. Think about it. Moses lived on the backside of the desert, staring at the backside of sheep for 40 years. In case you care to know some better statistics, that's over 21 million minutes. That's a lot of minutes. One day Moses spotted a burning bush out of the corner of his eye. Then he heard a voice from out of the bush calling his name. He turned aside to see where the voice was coming. And then he saw a bush on fire that was not consumed. And the Lord speaks to Moses, "Moses, take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground." Every time I read that, I'm going to tell you, it just gets all over me. Why is that? Because he's a holy God. He's not Big Daddy. He's not Grandpa. And he certainly isn't Santa Claus. I hear all these charismatics. Let me tell you something. He's God and he's holy. And we better come to this holy God with a reverence and an awe. I don't ever want to lose my awestruckness of God Almighty. He's holy. He's a thrice holy God. The angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." He's holy. God then revealed to Moses that he wanted him to go to Egypt and deliver the people of God that had been in bondage for all of these years. Moses begins to make excuses just like we do. "Well, Lord, I can't. I don't want to witness to this person. I don't feel like I can sing. I just don't feel like I could be effective on the mission field. I thought I'd throw that in there at this such a time as this." We make excuses just like Moses made excuses. But listen, God doesn't put up with excuses out of Moses, nor does he put up with excuses out of us. Whenever God calls us into any area or to do anything, God Almighty always qualifies the call. You may not can, but with God you can. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I just want you to stop right now, and I want you to get it in your spirit. You can do it through Christ. You may not have the ability. Moses made excuses. And then in Exodus 4:1, our text, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.' And the Lord said unto him, 'What is in thine hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it." I want you to see something this morning in this text. A very simple thing. He asked Moses, "What is in your hand? What is in your hand?" Moses was a shepherd. Moses carried around that staff or that rod constantly. He had learned the ways of a shepherd man. He had learned the ways of the wilderness. And Moses, I can't help but see in my mind's eye, he's holding his shepherd's rod or staff, and he's talking to a bush that's burning. Some say it was the Lord, some say it was an angel. Listen, it was God speaking to Moses. He said, "A rod is in my hand." And the Lord wanted to teach Moses something about letting go and letting God. He said, "Listen, I want you to cast it down." When he cast it down, when he released it, he saw the power of God. I want the Spirit of the Lord to talk to us today. God wants us to see whatever is in our hand, whatever we have in our means, we need to give it to God. We need to surrender whatever God tells you to surrender, and you're going to see, hear me, you're going to see the power of God manifested. Throwing down your staff or your rod is letting go and letting God. And that's counterintuitive for those of us who want control. You know what I found out? Everybody, almost everybody, 99.9.9.9, percent of people want to be in control. Can I get an amen in the house? We want to be in control of everything. Listen, that's counterintuitive for us that want to be in control. Listen, God says, cast it down. Release it. Can't have both. When it comes to this kingdom, when it comes to what God speaks to us and what he wants us to do, you can have faith, or you can have control, but you can't have them both working in unity. Listen, again, he's speaking of surrendering. The rod represents Moses' identity and security as a shepherd. There are some people that their whole identity is wrapped up in what they do, their occupation, what they have, their material things. It was their identity. What he was trying to say to Moses is, that's your security, that's your identity. I want you to release it because he wants to be our identity. Listen, do you hear what I'm saying? They first called them Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were like Christ. He wants to be all in all to us. He doesn't want us to control anything. He wants the hands off. He wants us to willingly cast down our rod. Again, the rod represented Moses' identity and security as a shepherd. It was the way Moses made a living. It was also the way he protected himself and his flock. So when God told Moses who and what he had, I want to make this unmistakably clear before I go any further. I am not referring to somebody quitting their job. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his home, his own, especially of his own house, he had denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. So if you're lazy and you won't work, you're worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever. Come on, church. I believe in working hard and taking care of your family, not just physically, but spiritually. Listen, men, you are the priest of your home. Ladies, if you don't have a man in the house, you're the priest of that home. You've got to protect those children. What are you holding on to? That's the question I want to ask you before I move any further. Or maybe I should ask, what are you not willing to let go of? If you aren't willing to let go, then you have control and not God. If you aren't willing to let go, then you don't control whatever it is that you are holding on to. It controls you. I want you to think about it today. We're controlled by a whole lot more than what we think we are. There are things that are attached ourselves to us. You know, again, One of my great mentors, Brother Clendenin, and said his grandkids were about the only thing, it's about as close to idolatry as what operated in his life. We love our kids, don't we? We love our family. We love our grandkids. But listen, if you place that family before God, you'll lose that family. He is a jealous God. He wants to be number one. Your rod, it will become a lightning rod of God's miraculous power. Don't you want to see the power of God? I want you to lift your hand. Do you want to see the power of God? I want to see Pentecost afresh and anew. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles. I want to see the lost man come in and the convicting work of the Holy Ghost get a hold of him or her. I want to see the ones in wheelchairs come in and start shouting during the song service because the power of God's moving and operating. I want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. How are we going to do it, preacher? I can tell you how. Throw down your rod and let God come in full control in your life. Cast down my rod. What is my rod, preacher? I don't know. That's between you and God. You need to surrender everything to God, and then and only then will you see the miraculous. What you hold in your hand cannot multiply until you put it in the hands of God. I'm about to close. But if you let go and let God, he will use it beyond your wildest imaginations. I want to ask you a question. What is in your hand? Now listen, there could be hundreds of different situations in different people's life. It could be as small as something, an individual that you're holding on to, or it could be finances, it could be a job, it could be an individual, whatever it is. We need to let anything and everything and identifies it. We must do it. My question, what's in your hand? That is the question the Lord asked Moses. It's the same question that he asked all of us this morning. You may be tempted to say, it's just a rod. You may be tempted to think, I can't make much of a difference anyway. I've heard that till I'm sick. God won't use me. I can't do nothing. Are you serious? God plus one makes a majority. But I don't have any talents. What does that have to do with anything? You're a vessel of the Almighty God. Lord, if you're a praying, sanctified, blood-washed, set-apart child of God, full of His Spirit, one plus God makes a majority. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just go back to the fish, the five loaves and the two fish. But if you put the two fish in the hands of a God, a miraculous God, God can feed 5,000 with it. Listen, in God's economy, remember the five loaves and two fish? In God's economy, math is completely different. In God's economy, 5 + 2 = 5,000. The disciples didn't think two fish and two loaves could make much of a difference, but they were obviously wrong. They greatly underestimated God. When dinner was done, there was 12 basketfuls left over. There was more over than they originally started with. If the little boy had held on to the two fish, the five loaves, they would have remained what they were. But by putting those things, the loaves and the fish, into the hands of Jesus, those two fish and five loaves turned into a miraculous feeding of the multitude. Listen, again, the rod in your hand, it's just a dead, dry stick. But if you cast it down, you give it to God, I can tell you it becomes a lightning rod for the miraculous power of Almighty God. Whenever He speaks through perfect obedience, when we obey, God begins to move. Can we have someone come to the piano today? What's in your hand today? You can hang on to it and see what you can do, or you can hand it over and see what God can do. What is God speaking to you about this morning? I just know that God wants all of... He wants Matt Gregory to relinquish control of my life, my future, my plans, and put it in His possession. Someone asked me, I was talking to people not long ago, and I said, while my children are still in my house, I'm just one of them dads. I want to be in control. I'm going to watch them. That's my job. There's times you need to be in control. I know houses where mom and dad's not in control, and it's a messed up situation. What I'm referring to is the things in your possession that God's already put His finger on. He's talked to you about. You know what's right. Some things you don't even have to hear His voice audibly or by the Holy Ghost, by His Word. If the Word says it, you don't have to pray over it. I've had some folks come to me with some of the craziest things. I'm praying if it's God's will for me to divorce my wife. I said, who told you that? Well, I think the Spirit did. No, I said, it's a demonic spirit whispering in your ear to leave your wife. Well, doesn't God want us to be happy? I said, that's a lying devil. The Bible never says that you're to be happy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can meet that need in your life. Listen, whenever we start focusing in on our happiness and our needs, that goes back to the self life. That life's got to die. It's a good thing when you're married and you have a good relationship. I can tell you, Solomon said, when you find a wife, you found a good thing. Amen. Can I get a witness out there, men? That's another message altogether. I will do that later. Moses was put in a desert pasture for 40 years. But what seemed like a life sentence to Moses was really parole with a purpose. God had already put Moses through 40 years of Palace 101. Now Moses had to pass Wilderness 101. Amen? Can we stand? The irony of Exodus' story is that Moses thought he was unqualified. But God was leveraging every past experience providentially to prepare him for the date he had with destiny. Let me explain. No one knew the protocol of the palace like the prince of Egypt, Moses. Nobody knew it like him. After all, he grew up in the palace. And after tending sheep for 40 years, isn't that awesome? He had experience being a prince in the palace. And he had experience being a shepherd in the wilderness. After tending the sheep for 40 years, he knew the ways of the wilderness, the wildlife, the watering holes, the weather patterns. Can you think of a better way to prepare Moses to lead the sheep of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years? Then by tending the sheep for his father-in-law on the backside of the same desert for 40 years. Listen to me this morning. All of us will probably have a few failures before we end up getting it right. Maybe some of us will have a lot of failures, like me. But thank God, it used to take a lot for me to hear the still small voice. I say this all the time. You can either hear the still small voice when God's talking to you and obey quickly, or God's going to give you the sledgehammer. That's how my mom and dad was. One time, they'd tell me, and if I did not do what they said to do, I didn't get a whipping. A whipping, that's for little bitty kids. I got a whooping. Praise God. You can either listen and respond to the still small voice, or you're going to get the sledgehammer. It's your choice. God does not want to give you the sledgehammer. He loves us. And I believe the parent, whenever they discipline their child, they love them and they're looking at the future. They're looking, in order to make a productive adult in society, let's just take Christianity out of it. You have to, listen, the old timers, if you acted up in the neighborhood, everybody whooped somebody else's kids. Amen? That's what I've heard from some of y'all. I got whooped by other people. And I can tell you right now, if I got whooped from somebody else, I'm getting another whooping. You know, today, you touch my child, they call the police. I understand. Oh, that's another message too. But someday, you'll celebrate your failures as much as success. Again, I'm going to say this. Failure is the fertilizer that grows character. And character sustains success so it doesn't backfire in your life. Success without any failure is like a plant without any roots or a building without any foundation. I know you would have changed it if you could, but you can't. Thanks be to God. He makes all things new. Stop groveling. Past defeat. Failure is not final with the Almighty God. He wants to do something special in your life. Are you in a wilderness this morning? Are you not understanding? Have you been through that wilderness? What God's going to do for you and through you if you will cast down your rod. Whatever it is he wants you to relinquish, whatever he wants you to surrender. Listen, we have to surrender all of us. But there are things specifically that God wants you to say, okay, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to trust you. Stop trying to control everything. Trust the Lord, and he will go before you. Can we lift our hands all over this building? Father, I thank you. I've preached what you've put in my heart, my spirit today. Lord, the people that are here, they've come to hear from heaven. They've come to hear your voice. I pray that you have spoken by your spirit. Lord, there's so many here with different needs and different things. I believe that you have spoken specifically through this message in the hearts and lives of down. Whatever we need to relinquish, whatever we need to surrender to see the power of Pentecost again. Oh God, I'm asking you to show us, speak to us, and give us your grace to be able to do it. Oh God, help us this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one look around. If there's anyone in this house that you're away from God, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. God wants to save you today. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. God wants to save you. He loves you. If you're feeling conviction, that uneasy feeling deep down in your chest, in your stomach, that's conviction. And you can't get saved without conviction. It's not a promise that conviction will be with you tomorrow. you must come whenever he's dealing with you. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to get saved, that needs to give their life back to God, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I want you to get out of your pew quickly, quickly, quickly. Come down here. If you're lost away from God today, you're a backslider, or you've never known the ways of God, God's pulling you with the cords of love right now. He's pulling you with the cords of love. God sees this couple. Come down. Anyone else in this house, God's calling you by his Spirit. You're away from him. He loves you. Don't resist with a love, a never-dying love. He wants you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to write your name in the Lamb's book of life. Anyone else in this house today, you just need God to save you. This is your opportunity. You may have many more opportunities, but you may walk out of that door and never have another opportunity again. Are you here this morning? Come down, brother. Anyone else in this house, God's calling you by Spirit. It's the love of God. God loves you. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. He loves you. God loves you so much. Listen, you'll never experience a greater love, a greater fulfillment than whenever he cleanses you in his precious blood. It's like a fuel pack. A weight is off your shoulders. Going to bed every night just weighted down with guilt and shame. He wants to save you. He loves you. Everyone in this church had to come by the way of the cross. So if God's dealing with you today and you say, I don't want to come down there in front of everybody, anyone that's in this house that's saved today had to make that walk, had to make that public confession. So you're not alone. They just did it before you. Hallelujah. God is so good. Don't you feel the presence of the Lord in this house? He's moving in this atmosphere. I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone else to come find a place to pray. You can stand up against the wall. You can stand at the altars. You can find a place to kneel. Let's talk to the Lord. Whatever the Lord's speaking to you to cast down, to surrender to him, just surrender it to God. It'd be the greatest thing you've ever done in your life. You think, I don't know if I can give that up. I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can do that. It'll be the greatest thing you've ever experienced during your life when you give it to the Lord.
If you want to move through me. If you're gonna move through me. Holy Ghost, come down. Pour your Spirit out. Don't. Without you, and I can't